sought me and he bought me. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah. You're in for a treat tonight. You know why? You got it. Y'all are learning. This is the best message I've ever preached right here. The best one. Hallelujah. And I mean that. I know you think I'm kidding, but I mean it. This is going to help somebody. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. This is going to help somebody. It helped me. I'm going to be a better pastor after the Lord got a hold of me today. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. Yeah, it worked on me. Luke 14, 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, the ones I invited, shall taste of my supper. I want to teach tonight on how to compromise. Yeah, how to compromise. This is a parable of compromise. Yeah. See, it gets real quiet because religion don't like that word. We got to bless God. When I get through with you, you're going to be compromising. Lord, I ask you to help us tonight. If we ever need an understanding of your word, it's in the hour and the day that we live in. We need to know how to operate in this day. It's not the day that our forefathers or the apostles walked. It's a new day that we live in. Help us, teach us your ways better than ever before, that we may save the lost, for that is the goal. You came to seek and to save that which is lost, and you sent us out to do your work. Help us to do it with diligence and fervor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We'll come back to the parable in just a minute, but compromise many times is kind of a taboo word in religion. And I've heard it many times that I will not compromise. And I understand the truth is the truth. If you compromise the truth, you can't compromise the cross. You can't compromise baptism. There's some things you can't compromise, because if you compromise, it's not the truth. You know, it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what even the law says when you put your hand on the Bible. If you don't tell the whole truth, it's not the truth. So the truth, we understand, can't be compromised. But really what makes people fall is not the truth. It's the compromise. It's they don't know how to operate in life with each other. And the church is split because no one knew how to compromise. Marriages are busted up because no one knew how to compromise. Children leave their parents. Provoke not your children to wrath. What happened? Somebody didn't know how to compromise. So I want to talk about compromising. Will you compromise? Okay, I'll ask again at the end of the sermon. You know, to say you will never compromise is one of the most foolish statements you could ever make. You back your own self into a corner and make yourself a fool. Because now what do you do when it comes time to compromise, or else you lose what you're trying to hold on to? So I want to talk to you about how to compromise, how to effectively compromise. This parable we will read is about compromise, because life can really not be lived to its fullest without compromise. A marriage cannot exist. It cannot exist without compromise. Children cannot be raised without compromise. A church cannot be orchestrated without compromise. And God himself could not be compassionate if he wasn't willing to compromise. The word compromise, if you're ready for this, comes from two very, I've never recognized this when I looked at this word. It's really compromise. You see, we always looked at compromise. But it's compromise. Like that C-O-M is a prefix, and it's like components or compare. That means to bring things together. So what the word compromise means, to bring together into a promise, to where we mutually agree that we can work this out. Now, who don't want to compromise now? If you don't compromise, you're going to be a stubborn old hardhead. And the problem, if you don't compromise, you lose everything. So compromise is when both sides are agreeable to a situation to settle differences. It's a mutual compromise. Compromise is a mutual promise. It's when signatures say, I sign, you sign. We agree that we agree. It's when two people can shake hands or kiss and make up. You still don't want compromise? Only a hard head won't compromise. The way of the transgressor is hard. He won't compromise. And I know the scripture, and I like to quote it, and I know it in its text. We like to quote the scripture, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is true. He compromised. He's always compromised. Since the beginning, he's compromised. Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He let them live a little. Adam lived 900 years. Had children. He covered their sins. He compromised. He could have just sent them out into oblivion, but he compromised, and he killed some animals or took the life of an animal. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. God compromised a couple of animals and covered their sins that they might live. God was willing to compromise. If you're not with me, I'll carry you there. God was willing to compromise with Cain. Yes, he was. He said, Cain, you brought forth the wrong sacrifice. I'll compromise. I'll give you another chance. There would be no compassion if there was no compromise. So even the word compassion has that coming together. He compromised with Adam and Eve. He compromised with Cain. You might remember on a day that he heard the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah had reached to heaven. And God himself was walking down. He was marching on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham saw these angels going by. Hey, where are you going? He said, well, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And said, well, Abraham said, wait a minute. I got a nephew in there. Now let's just say, you see, let's just say you found 50 righteous souls in there. Would you compromise? Come on. He said, I'm on my way to destroy them. And he said, yay. See, God was willing to compromise. But he said, I'm fixing to destroy them. But he backed up because he found another party willing to work with him. That's why the scripture says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. You need God to compromise for you because you're a sinner. That's all you are, saved by grace. And so Abraham couldn't find 50 souls. He kept working his way down. How about 40? And the Lord said, okay, 40. What about 30? 30. He got down to 10 righteous souls in the huge city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, I'll compromise that. I think Abraham thought, surely there'll be 10. Lord, there wasn't 10. But my point is, you see that God was willing to compromise. Compromise is the greatest tool that there has ever been in reaching agreements. Ever been. People that are not willing to compromise hurt their own selves because they lose everything. The most important thing about effectively compromising, now you might want to write this down and make a mental note. This is the most important thing about effectively compromising. You need to find a way to compromise but still reach your main goal. Find a way to compromise, but still reach your main goal. Because on the other side, they got a main goal too. But you got to find a way for both of you to work together. You feel like you've accomplished each of you's goal. So you know what? When both of you feel like you win, it's called a win-win situation. And so the main goal, if your main goal is to stay married, you better get to compromising. If your main goal is to keep the job, you better start talking to the boss. You better say, if your main goal is to be saved, I promise you, you better learn to compromise. You won't be saved without compromise. I'll go that far to tell you that. There is some concessions on your part that you have to come into agreement. God's already done his part. and willing to do more. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their wicked ways, he said, then I'll compromise. I'll forgive them. I'll heal their land. I'll restore them. God is more than willing to compromise with you. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking to some folks tonight. You compromise every day that you go to the job. Some of you just put up with that boss. You don't want to be there, but you put up with it and you compromise. I'm doing fine. How are you? And as soon as they walk off, man, I can't stand that guy. But you're compromising your feelings because you want to keep the job. Why? The main goal is keep the job. Are you understanding me? You can find a way to keep the job and still maybe not be happy, but you need a paycheck. But the main goal cannot be compromised. But there are some things that you should compromise to still keep the main goal. Compromise is not done through arguing. It's not done through rage. It's not even done through panic. Effective compromise is done when you sit down and you stop and you work it out between you and God or you and somebody else so that at the end of the day, you're in agreement and you both have peace with the decision. That's important. So you obviously will not get everything you want in a compromising situation, but if you reach your main goal, that ought to be satisfactory to you. The end of compromise is when you lose the ability to obtain the main goal. That's the end of my compromise. If I can't have the main goal, keep the marriage, keep the job, be saved, if I can't accomplish that, there's no need to compromise any further, right? I mean, how far can you compromise? When you lose the main goal, the compromise is ended. Are you still with me? You understand? Now watch this text right here because you've never heard it like this. In this text setting, and if you have Luke 14 and 15, could you? I didn't give you that, I don't think. Back it up to that. Because in this text setting, we're going to see a parable that Jesus puts forth of compromising. Because a man starts talking about, blessed, let's read it. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. So Jesus is talking about recompense. He's talking about getting along with people. He's talking about not elevating yourself so that when you someone bids you to come into a house or a setting, you don't go sit on a throne. You go take the back seat. So when the one that comes in and bids you, he sees you sitting back there, say, hey, move up. You see, he's telling them ethics and things like this. And so when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Next verse. Then said he unto him, watch this. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. He had already invited people. He like already told them, hey, I want you. He selected. He was selective. He didn't just say, hey, anybody want to come? We're having a gumbo. Y'all show up. No, he was selective of who he wanted to be there. Because Jesus in the first parable said, when you have suppers or things, he said, don't call your friends and your family because they're that. He said, call those that can't reciprocate it. That's true love. When's the last time you threw a party that wasn't for your friends and family? Mm-mm. So he selected who he wanted at his party. And he sent his servants at supper time, so he sends them out to say to them that were bidden, okay, come, for all things are now ready. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to labor for this. I didn't take up pounding slips. I didn't ask you to go to Kroger and get anything. All you've got to do is show up. I've done everything. So it's obvious this is invitation only, and the master of the house has selected his guests, and he sends out his servants to tell them, the time has come. It's ready. It's hot. Come and just show up. And in this case, he's talking about the Jews. He came to the Jews. All they had to do was just accept him. All they had to do was say, Messiah. And that was his chosen people. But this parable, as we go on, in this case, the Jews were selected, but they would not be the ones to eat. And so feeding the Jews was a goal. Now watch this close. feeding the Jews was a goal of the master, but not the main goal. The main goal was the house be full. That was the main goal. Watch. The main goal of the master was to fill the house with hungry people. He wanted a full house to eat what he had prepared. Verse 18, he goes to those that were bidden, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Now these people, now watch, they're wealthy. They have stuff. I bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke. He's got money. This is the ones he invited first. I got 5 yoke of oxen, and I go and prove them. I pray thee, excuse me too. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And it always amuses me, brother. He didn't give an excuse. He just said, I married a wife. Just, I can't come. So when the Lord of the house hears that his selected guests have stood him up, he began to tell the servants to begin to compromise. Yeah. Begin to compromise on your selection, because I don't want to lose my goal. What's the goal? Filling the house. My goal really wasn't them. That's who my first choice was. But if they don't want to come, my main goal is I don't want to waste what I'm doing. I don't want my blood to be in shame, in vain. I don't want to cook supper and nobody show up. The goal was not to waste the meal, the effort, the time, the cost, and the work it took to prepare it. So verse 21 says, so the servant came and shewed his lord these things. He told him, well, they're not coming. So the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly. Now watch this. Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city. So we're moving out of the metropolitan area. We're moving out of the uppity-up area and the high-rise buildings and all the grandeur that would be, you know, the affluent people. And now we're going to move out into the, he's compromising, into the lanes and the streets of the city. And bring in hither the poor, get that guy out of the gutter, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Woo, this is compromise. The master had compromised considerably from the ones who had ownership. Well, I bought some this. I bought some land. I bought some this. And these other guys, they don't own nothing. They're in the gutter. They're lame. They can't get a job. He's compromising. So in order to salvage his gold, the master moved down the pole of hierarchy, if you will, to a lower social status, to find someone who didn't have anything to do tomorrow, find someone who didn't have plans for tomorrow, because I don't want to waste what I'm doing. So rather than them coming in horses and chariots and limos and chauffeurs, they come in wheelchairs and walkers, and they carry them in on sheets, and they lead the blind in by the hand. Quite a difference. But the main goal, the supper, is the plate, the table, and the person eating. That was the main goal. We cannot lose the main goal. I'm willing to compromise on who comes. That's not my first choice. But I'm willing to give that up in order not to lose the main reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Are you now beginning to understand this parable like maybe never before? These people that he compromised with are probably not as clean. They're probably not as aesthetic. He's going to take some slack from other people. What are you doing, you crazy man? Don't you know better than that? You must be hard up for somebody to come to your party. Now watch, verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. We've picked up everybody we saw that was lame and maimed and halt, and we still got room. It's not quite full. What was the main goal? Fill the house. So I'm not through. So there's still empty chairs. There's still hungry people. There's still lost people. There's still people that do want a Bible study. There's still people that do need to hear the gospel. So the master
further compromises.
And the Lord said unto the servant, verse 23, now watch. We're going to get outside the city, outside the lanes and outside the streets, and go into the highways and the hedges and compel. Compel. See, you catching it? Bring together with a little force. Bring together with a little pressure. Okay? Because my house must be full. That's my main objective. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. We've gone from the interior of the city to the lanes and to the streets, and now we're in the highways and the hedges outside in the bramble and the bushes, and we're telling people, well, I'll come pick you up. Well, I don't have a car. I'll come get you. It's all right. I'll furnish it. Why don't you come? Why don't you have this Bible study? I'll pick you up at 8 and I won't be late. They find a way to get them engaged, get them to come together using a compelling force. There was nothing wrong with the compromise in this parable. Because the reason is not because he wanted necessarily the Jews. And the parable ends, believe it or not, that's the Gentiles. See, this is a parable about the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews, he came, and they didn't want him, so he just kept going, and he got the dogs. Because the Gentiles were called the dogs. He just said, I'll take the dogs. If y'all don't want to come, I'll take the dogs.